Hello and welcome to Esposito, the Espogenesis podcast. I'm John. I am the games master for Esposito. I'm speaking very quietly because I forgot to record an intro at home, so I'm doing it in my office. Thank you for rejoining us and for continuing to listen to the podcast. Really appreciate that. We love that you guys are enjoying it and listening to it and sharing it. It's really cool. So thank you very much. This week's episode's going to be fun. It's going to be wild. You get to meet some new dwarves. Guthrum is my favorite. Look out for Guthrum. He's a good guy. Yeah. Enjoy the show. Peace out. Yo.
Right, so, last time on Esposito, you took your newly gotten ship off of the dark side of the dwarven planet, Unenda. Knowing that you needed to find a power source, you made your way to the space station that you'd originally boarded on your journey in and that Dumas you were originally from. You docked with the station. There were some issues around it not having any atmosphere, which you eventually overcame. You discovered that the Promethean and the human that had brought you to the station were both dead in the ship that brought you there. You discovered that the station had had some sort of battle going on. You found the barely living body of... You attempted to boost the station to crash into one of the ships. It didn't work. But you did manage to get a Saurium core with which to power your newly gotten ship. On the way out, you did a fair bit of damage to the attacking fighters and allowed a few dwarven ships to escape the planet. And then you made your way towards the dwarven convoy that was heading out of the system. You were greeted by some fighters who ordered you to stand down, as the ship you are in is actually of Dendu design. And yes, as we all know, there are some Dendu dwarven bad blood. You've basically been ordered to stand down your weapons and be escorted into the capital ship, the Urgos. So that's more or less where you are. I'm not going to ask you to say, oh, do you go in? You do, because otherwise you'll be blown up.
Wow. I mean, that's taken away my...
Yeah, way to railroad it, man.
Exactly. I mean, what if I...
What happens to agency?
Hide? I could hide.
My agency!
I've decided you don't get agency until I say you get agency.
God, this is like Princes of the Apocalypse.
Right, God.
You are the Dark Lord by now.
It seemed like a logical point for us to all die anyway, so maybe we should just stay on the ship and get
back. I mean, I feel like we've explored the story as far as I wanted it to go, so...
We had a good run.
Yeah, like, you've done some things. You've...
A nice three-episode arc, that's fine.
All right, so you are escorted by a number of fighters into the hangar deck of the capital ship, the Urgos. Once you set down, a communication comes through, and it manages to bypass internal systems and broadcast through all the speakers in the ship, and you just hear a voice say, "Please, leave all weapons on board the ship and exit immediately."
Not sure about this. Can I at least keep like a dagger on me or something?
I'm somewhat apprehensive too. Dumas, will I be okay?
I can't make any promises, but if you don't make any sudden movements and do as you're told, I can't see why we won't at least give you a pass for the short term.
I will remain like rock.
Best do as he says. I take off my weapons and put them in a locker.
I'm going to keep my forearm blade because it basically sort of retracts into sort of basically just a gauntlet. So slight inspection, people wouldn't realise that it's like a forearm blade. So I'm going to keep that, but I'm going to stick everything else in the locker.
Okay.
I'll put my stuff in the locker too, but keep the drone on me.
Do I know that these guys are keeping weapons on them?
I don't know, guys. Are you being discreet about that, or are you...
Yeah, I'm being discreet about it.
I can't be discreet about sticking the drone on my back, but as far as you're aware, it's a fairly harmless drone.
Yeah, my drone stays with me, and also I am going to keep my wrist blades. I'll put everything else in the locker. The wrist blades presumably are just like...
As in, so are they specifically called wrist blades as opposed to forearm blades?
They are wrist blades, so they're like, I imagine like Assassin's Creed you flick them out.
I think that's what the forearm blade is.
Yeah.
We had this exact discussion, John, and you said that you thought that the forearm blades wouldn't be hideable.
Oh, yes, no, we did. The wrist blade is disguisable. The forearm blades, I think, in my mind, because they're not actually described, in my mind, they run down the side of your arm like it's a full-on blade.
Yeah, it's a full sword, right?
Like a tonfa.
Oh, I thought they were like retractable, kind of like Assassin's Creed style.
I think that'd probably be more the wrist ones.
A wrist is smaller than the forearm. Just to throw some basic biology.
Well, yeah, that's where I thought it was a case of like the forearm blade was like a gauntlet thing, and then the actual blade itself would like retract into that because like it's got more space to do it. Whereas a wrist blade, you'd think there wouldn't be much room to retract, otherwise you just have a really stubby blade. So that would make sense to me to be the ones that stick out all the time.
I think...
Which one does more damage?
I disagree. Oh, that's a good point. But I disagree.
The forearm blade, I think, by a long way.
So I think the wrist blade is the concealable weapon, and the forearm blade is a blade that attaches to your forearm.
Okay. Well, in that case, I'll put the forearm blade away, but... I'll try and make a sleight of hand check to conceal my auto pistol.
Okay. Anyone looking out for that can roll.
I mean, I will definitely be.
Perception check.
Oh, yeah, let's do that just for the fun.
Oh, well, that was shit. So I got a 10.
16 for me. Oh, no. 17 then.
I got a 5, so I didn't notice, but I'm not happy about it.
You don't notice. Dora, you definitely do. You spot HUD, like, concealed within his clothing, this auto pistol.
I give him a sly wink and say nothing.
I just sort of...
Yeah, cool. So you leave the ship. Dunbar and Beltrov come with you. They have also disarmed. And you are met by this platoon of probably about 30 or 40 soldiers, all with rifles pointed at you. There's one in particular that stood in the front center who strides forwards towards you and says, "Hello, I am Cadet Guthrum."
"Greetings, Guthrum."
"Hello, boys. Where's the party at?"
"I have been tasked with the role of taking you into custody. This is not necessarily that you're under arrest. It's more that you are... not under arrest, I suppose. Is please would you follow me? You will be escorted. No one will mistreat you."
"What's the charges?"
"Aren't you part of these guys, or what's going on?"
"Yeah." "Ask him in Dwarven again. What are the charges?"
He turns to you and says, in Dwarven, "It's not so much charges as you need to be spoken to. You've arrived on a Dendu ship. There's all of this that's happened. We need to know what's going on. And you are the outliers, the unusual. It is. So it's not so much that you're under arrest, it's more, come on, guys, what the fuck?"
"I suppose that's fair, but let it just be noted that we've disarmed, we're cooperating, and me and Beltrov here, we're part of the Corps, so we can explain all of this in due time. Don't worry, chaps. It's just a formality while they figure out what's going on."
"But look, I mean, where's the welcome party? We just helped lots of your kind get off their planet."
"This is a very strange welcome."
"Exactly. Listen to him."
"It's just a few questions."
Because this conversation, this internal chat has been going on, he looks to you, Korriban, and says, "Are you coming with us? Or is this... It's not so much an option as a... Armed guard, are you coming with us?"
"It's not me first dance, don't worry. I know how this works. They're their own people. They're just freelance mercs and off-worlders, but they seem like decent folks, so... And I go back to the common language. Come on, chaps. Might as well give them the answers they want. Sooner we get this cleared up, sooner we can get back to the fight."
"I'm sorry, did you say fart?"
"What did you say?"
"Did you just say, the sooner we get this sorted out, the sooner we can get back to the fart?"
I heard fart.
That's what I said.
Right. Okay. Dora follows and she lets out a little silent but deadly.
Okay, cool.
Make a constitution check.
All of you, make a constitution saving throw. No, don't. There's no time for that. There's plenty of time for that. We could literally spend hours discussing your characters farting. But let's not.
And rolling fart saves.
Oh my goodness. Can I at least make you roll a constitution to make sure you don't shart? You know what? Roll a constitution saving throw.
You could do what you want.
Yeah, no. I don't know why I was asking.
Damn, that hits power. Okay. That's a 14.
You don't shart, but it is quite smelly.
Nice. I don't let on that I've done it. I go, what the? Who the hell did that?
There is stench of death in air.
Oh, my mouth was open and everything. Oh.
Was that you, recruit? God. Your troops in order.
So Guthrum, the guy that's been speaking to you, you see him take a step back and a deep breath as he turns around to walk away.
That was a mistake.
No, he was getting out of the range of it. He'd already smelt it. Like he's got an odd green colour.
I think we found the poop deck, boys.
And you are escorted out of the hangar bay by this platoon of guards. Actually, not all of them. About five of them stay behind to escort you. The rest of them remain in the hangar bay, which, as they sort of leave the immediate surroundings of you, you get a better look at what's going on, and it is absolute chaos. There are ships arriving and departing. The supplies being unloaded by mechs and soldiers who are running to and fro with these cases. There are civilians that are being escorted to waiting areas. So this huge end of the hangar bay is just full of civilians. They're being hemmed in by guards, not in an aggressive way, more of a stay out the fucking way sort of way. You can see that they're being loaded onto transport ships that depart, and there's a whole load of things going on. There doesn't seem to be much order to how any of it's being done. No one seems to be completely in charge of any particular job. So you can hear a lot of shouting, a lot of machinery. There's a bit of weeping and wailing from just the people that are in the room, because as you've just seen, their planet has just been decimated and no one knows what's going on. It's not the most cheerful scene, but you are escorted out of the hangar bay by this pale-skinned, young-looking dwarf in armor that looks a little bit too big for him that's been speaking to you. He leads you out into the corridor and walks you down towards a lift at the far end. And you get in the lift. It goes down very quickly. You don't know how many floors. There's no indicator on here. And you come out into what you presume to be a lower deck of the ship. Dumas, you'd be fairly familiar with the layout of these ships. This would probably be the security area. The brig would also contain weapons lockers and dorms for on-duty security personnel. You are taken into a fairly small room. Two of the guards that have been escorting you take post outside. The other three, you don't really see what they do, but they don't seem to be hanging about. And Guthrum walks in with you and says, right, so we're going to keep you in here for a bit until the Council and the Chancellor are ready to speak with you. If you require anything, food, drink.
Oh, on that note, mate. Yes, drink. What have you got?
We have a limited supply of water.
Not interested.
Okay.
Kid, is this really the time to be waiting around for people? You're in the middle of a crisis. Can't you just take us to the people you need to tell? We'll tell them what we need to tell, and maybe we can get back out there and help again.
Or you could be a doll and get me some whiskey. And she flutters her eyelashes.
And he says, no.
No to the whiskey or no to seeing your leaders?
No to the whiskey. To seeing the leaders. I understand you think you're probably quite important. However, there is an ongoing...
I grab him by the scruff of the neck. I say, listen here, you little shit. Importance got nothing to do with it. We just cut a hole in that blockade so your people could get out alive. You're sat there in armor that's two sizes too big for you, telling me what you think's important. Take us to someone who makes the goddamn decisions. Now.
He grabs your hand where you're grabbing him. And he squeezes. He doesn't try and pull you off. He just says, yes, I understand what you've done, and I'm sure that's brilliant, but there is also still an attacking armada. Therefore, you're not top of the fucking priority list, all right?
At this point, I try and lift him off the ground. And I say, priorities, you little shit.
Roll a strength check.
Okay, so that is a 14.
So you don't manage to fully lift him, but you definitely, like, his heels are no longer touching the ground. At which point, he pulls his handgun out and points it squarely at your chest and says, yes, priorities. Priorities like getting all of the remaining survivors of our entire race out of harm's way. That's kind of our priority. Now put me the fuck down!
Whoa. No! Hold on. Dora steps forward. Look, guys, this is a bit silly, isn't it? Look, we came from the surface. We have information. We even have one of your fellow dwarves here with us. We could actually help in this evacuation. We already have done. We're a valuable resource. Use us. Take us to the guy in charge here and implement us in whatever way you will, friends. And also, what about that whiskey?
I've got to say, Hood, I'm disappointed in you. Thought you were a soldier. Thought you respected how things work. Didn't expect you to be the kind of guy who'd smuggle on weapons and besmirch his own reputation by pulling a gun on someone. You need to be aware of it. These people have been through a lot. I've been through a lot and I'm on the fucking edge, mate. This is how things work. They need to make sure we're not a threat. They don't know who we are.
What can I say? I'm not a soldier anymore and you don't know.
Oh, clearly.
I dropped the cadet back on the deck and I say, as crazy as it sounds, Dora's actually making the most sense here. All right, fine, we'll wait.
Dora just pops a painkiller. So, good man. Actually, she pops two.
Guthrum's pretty flustered. And you can see, like, he's trying to physically calm himself down. It's not fear, it is rage that he's holding back. And he holsters his weapon and he nods to you, Caraban, and he turns back to you all and says, I'll be back when the Security Council have informed me they are ready to see you.
No talk of whiskey though, friend.
Shut the fuck up. And then he just walks out the door.
Well, that's what you get for saving a man's life. Jeez.
So fucking Remphs.
Remph.
It's military slang for rear echelon, motherfucker.
That's some nice flavour, but
yeah,
but I don't understand.
I like it.
I love it.
Hood's a badass. He's a loose cannon.
I've got to play up the whole low wisdom.
Yeah, no, it's fair.
Ah, yes. The packs of our company.
So, you're in this room for about 8 hours.
Jesus Christ.
Holy shit. Is that a long rest then?
Yeah, I'll give you a long rest.
Yes.
During the entire 8 hours, Hud is just getting angrier and angrier. He's been smoking this entire time, so the room's probably like full of smoke at this point as well.
I mean, they have air conditioning, dude.
Oh, well. That kind of ruins my vibe.
It's still lingering. It's not that good.
Oh, don't qualify, John. Come on. Pick an air conditioning standard and stick with it.
I am. I'm just saying it's not
full of smoke. It's a sci-fi, man. It's either rat or like
me. Right, it's not full of smoke, but it is still a little bit hazy.
So,
okay. I imagine the issue is where you're smoking is generally above like head height for a dwarf, where the air conditioning might be installed.
That's a good shout.
What kind of smoking is it? Is it like a e-cigarette? It's like a burner or something? What is it?
No. Hud's kind of a hipster like that, and also where he was back in the day. This is a bit of backstory for you. He got used to rolling his own cigarettes out of various sort of flora and fauna that he could find. So he just got used to rolling his own.
Does he have 20/20 vision, just a pair of empty frames?
You broke up there, dude.
Does he have 20/20 vision, just a pair of empty frames?
He broke up again.
In the same place. Do it again.
Fuck off.
That was worth it. I like that. That was good. All right. Yeah, so you've been in this room for about 8 hours. Hud, you've been pacing back and forth and chain smoking for 8 hours. I mean, that's grim.
Yeah, like, he's a little dizzy.
Dora's also been popping those painkillers so often. Because okay. She's got no booze.
Are you tracking how many painkillers you have?
You should wait 4 hours between each.
I had like four before I got into this room. Oh, no, wait. That's more.
No, not tracking how many you're taking, like how many you have left.
Oh, well, how many was in the thing? You said I had a lot last time when I asked.
Okay.
I like how we're not concerned about ODing. It's just the sheer logistics of how many are left in this tub.
It's going to take her a lot. But do you want to put a quantity on it?
I don't actually. I can't be bothered. That's boring.
I mean, I took the entire amount that was in that medical store.
I might at some point decide that you've run out.
Oh, God.
I'll let you know if you're running low first. Right, so after about 8 hours in this room, the door opens and Guthrum walks back in, and he only addresses Korriban, and he says, "The Chancellor and the Security Council are ready to speak with you all now. Please follow me."
All right, let's go. Claps her hands, and she's the first to leave.
Bloody ready. He's been 8 bloody hours. Come on, man. Even for me. Taking piss.
Have you been in charge of many planetary evacuations?
We have certainly helped with one.
I'm not saying that it's the time. I'm saying you've kept us bloody locked in here with no information, no updates. Common courtesy.
And prodigious amounts of smoke.
Anyway, come on, let's go see him.
I'm going to barge past this guy purposefully as I leave the room.
All right.
He's a jumped up little dick.
He lets you all leave first. And you've got these other two guards that are waiting, so you're not able to get too far away. And he says, "Right, if you'll follow me, please." And he walks you back down the corridor towards that lift that you arrived in on this floor before. You get into the lift, and it travels for several minutes, but unlike before when you could tell that it just dropped down, it doesn't seem to be moving in just one direction. It's moving in other directions. I don't know why I was gonna qualify that. It doesn't seem to be moving in just one direction. It is definitely moving horizontally as well as vertically.
That's so weird, John. Literally in the first episode of this podcast, you said the lift goes up and down and then went on your own little soliloquy about how you had to clarify it only went up and down.
That was literally part of your repertoire.
Go back!
I don't think we started about which way lifts
go.
Yeah,
John has a real complex about which direction lifts go in.
You're consistent with your clarifications.
Wait till we get to the escalators, Tom. And there are so many escalators on this ship. It's another callback! Anyway, the doors open into a small lobby. So you've noticed that this entire ship is once again made out of adamantine. It is, and the rest of the galaxy, that incredibly precious metal that is reserved for the most important ships. This entire ship is made of this metal. And there's this huge set of doors in front of you. And as you approach, they sweep open and you can see this group of 5 dwarves around a table. There's a female dwarf in the center facing towards you, but looking down at this table. And she seems to be midway through giving it orders to a holographic projection. "Continue distribution of skilled civilians and supplies to the remaining ships and move us further away, but keep the fleet together." And you hear the dwarven captain reply, "Yes, Chancellor." And the image flickers out.
Door just says, "What a trap!"
This figure looks up, and Tom, you recognize her as Chancellor Katwayan Ulfrund, who is the democratically elected leader of the government on Unanda. She's dressed in an unironed, grubby-looking suit, and she looks exhausted. Like, her face is pale, there's dark rings under her eyes, and looking around the room at the members of the Security Council, they all look very disheveled and exhausted. One of them looks like he's had a head wound, which has been fairly hastily bandaged, and you can see blood sort of dripping down from underneath the bandage. The Chancellor looks up and focuses on Guthrum and says, "Are these the ones who arrived on the Dendu ship?" And Guthrum nods and says, "Yes, this is them. They also assisted in securing the escape of the last ships to leave the surface." And she turns back to you and says, "What were you doing on a Dendu ship?"
"Escaping the planet. It's the only ship we could find."
"Where were you to find a Dendu ship on the planet?"
"Mine, on the dark side. Salvage. Legitimate."
So this is part of that trade mission.
Aye. Speaking of which, so did you commission this? Because I still haven't been paid for said mission.
And she turns to the rest of the group, having just been addressing Korriban, and says, "The trade was sanctioned by our government. but carried out and therefore funded by Mechanex, one of your corporations. What I do find curious is that the satellite that you docked with is the one that went out of alignment shortly before the attack began, which places the blame not necessarily on you. You were not on the station when it happened, clearly, but someone you came with. I need to know who you came with. I need to know what's happened to you. What have you seen? What's
most of them are dead. Shortly after we arrived at the mine, we heard a signal through our communication chips went off right loud in my ear. And Beltrov, is Beltrov with us?
Cheers.
Beltrov can back me up on this. Anyway, we got this signal through. We took our headsets off. And as soon as that happened, the rest of the party, except these ones here, the drunk and the human one.
Hello.
Everyone apart from them starts going all radgy and shooting everyone. That's kind of most of what we know. They went berserk. We managed to put them down. We went back to the station to try and get some supplies and some answers and see if we could figure out what's gone on. And then we made it back here. That's pretty much it.
Oh, wait. There was one other thing. When we got to the station, it looked like someone had shot some of the members of the station.
That's true.
The Dwarven Security Force members of the station, I assume.
Yeah, all dead. But we scanned the station. There were no life signs. So unless you tracked someone coming from the station in between everything going to hell and then us arriving.
Right. So is there anything else? Anything?
Well, hold on. Didn't we pick up this Dunbar fella? Presumably he filled you in on about what happened. Station. We found him there.
Captain Dunbar is being seen to.
Whoa, what does that mean?
He is being looked after. He is being medically restored.
Right.
He had some significant injuries.
I helped out with that, by the way. Don't know if he told you.
He did not mention that. He focused more around the more pressing incident. He was not aboard the station when the system went down. He was on his ship, waiting to pick you up again. He engaged in defending the planet somewhat. And then when he noticed that the station was out of alignment, went there. What happened beyond that? There's not much information.
What caused his injuries?
Bruising and hemorrhaging from, I assume, being thrown about inside the ship as he was defending. That's unclear. There was some exposure issues. It seems that he was in a vacuum for some period of time. Beyond that, it's difficult to tell. It's partly exhaustion. I'm not a doctor.
He might be the best chance we have of knowing what's gone on here, so I'd get him talking.
These fellows that attacked, anything about them?
You'd have to check the Mechanex files. We didn't know who they were. We're just contractors. There was a Valna, two Prometheans.
I killed one of my own kind. I wasn't, you know, happy about it, but I took her head.
There was a fancy Kesh who were lording it over us for a while as well. It was a mixed bag. We didn't know anything out about him.
I should point out I was not part of this trade mission. I was innocent bystander.
And she focuses on you in her eyes narrow and she says, Dendu, where did you come from?
The dark side of the planet.
And she sort of goes silent for a bit, at which point the dwarf with the bandaged head says, listen, we don't have any idea what's going on here. You don't have any idea what's going on. No one... What we need is more information.
Well, what do you know?
What we do know is a large fleet exited from an asteroid field. Somehow, our defense forces went down and an assault began. Now, there are some curious additions. There were dwarves fighting dwarves.
As in, there were dwarves on these other ships, or dwarves who were already here?
Dwarves on the planet. So this was not just an aerial invasion. They landed troops. There were dwarves on the planet that joined with the landing troops.
Did they grab the back of the Red Hall painful-like and start fighting?
That is something I don't know. Maybe.
Come on. You're supposed to be intelligence here.
I wasn't there. I didn't see this. I am reporting what I was told.
How'd you get that head wound then?
I got this head wound on our ship, escaping from the planet. We were hit by some fire. I fell. I'm not here to explain myself to whoever the fuck you all are.
Well, do us a favour then. Get someone in here who does know what's happened and has seen it and see if we can corroborate our stories, because what we need to do is find out what's going on our planet.
Yes, that is what I'm saying. We need to find out what's going on. Getting someone in here to corroborate stories does not matter. He looks around at the other ministers in the room and says, I don't know if I speak for all of these people here, but your story seems at least as uninformative as anyone else's. It doesn't seem like...
That's because it's a solo story and you're not trying to link it up with others. One story on its own ain't information. You need to put the stories together.
We are putting stories together. We're putting stories together that people that we should otherwise have trusted were not on our side. That is as far as we can get.
And people you didn't even know about just helped some of your guys evacuate. So maybe, rather than throwing shit at us, you can use us, mate. That's all we're trying to do here. Use us, of course, for a prize.
And he sort of exhales, exasperated, at which point the Chancellor chimes in again and says, that is what we are proposing.
God, see, all this flapping around.
We needed to find out what you already knew. We needed to find out if there was any inconsistencies with what you have said and what we already know. There are not. Therefore, we need to know more. No one evacuating the planet knows more.
Well, look, you saw us in action. If that isn't trust enough, I don't know what is. Okay?
The issue here is not trust. The issue we have is that when evacuating a planet, when everyone is under attack, we're too close to this to be able to look back and analyze what we need to find out from elsewhere. We need to go and have a look at the planet. We need to go and see. And she looks around at the other members of the council and then says, we need to see if anyone else knows what this is. We need help from outside.
Look no further. Here we are. Give us your best ship. And we'll go out for some reconnaissance. Get you the information you need.
There are two issues with giving you a ship. Two specific issues. One, we are a fairly limited society now. We need all the ships we have because they are now where we presumably live until this situation is resolved. The second issue being, we are also a fairly well-protected secret, and we can't just send our ships out across the galaxy.
But look...
You have a ship. It is a working ship.
You've seen us in action, right? This guy here, and she slaps Hood on the shoulder. This guy here is one of the best pilots I've ever sat next to. You give him a ship with stealth, we can go in and out. No problem at all, get you the information that we need. No issues. This Dendu ship we have is good. It's great. You know, we made it what it was, and we did well with it. But you have better technology. With stealth capabilities, I think we could do better with that for what you need us for, friend. My new friend.
Roll a persuasion check.
That is a 21.
Ooh.
She's very good at persuasion. For some reason.
And she says, for the purposes of investigating the planet, I could provide you with a ship. For seeking information from elsewhere in the Ark, absolutely not.
That's fine. That's all we're asking for. I think Dumas here is very keen to get back down to the planet. And we're all a little intrigued, right? Right, guys?
I sort of nod along with Dora, but then I also say, also, with all due respect, Chancellor, regarding your second point about being a well-guarded secret, I think it's suffice to say that you're not a secret anymore. And if anything that this invasion should have taught you is that
you're not strong enough to fight this on your own. And should this enemy decide that the planet wasn't their target and the target was your people, you'll be in a much better position to defend yourself with the help of allies. I mean, the whole Silverain arc is, I'm not going to tell you it's all, you know, peace and love, we're sitting by a campfire, but there is a degree of protection between civilizations there. If you can make links there, I mean, I'm just an old soldier, but I fought in enough wars to know that there is some weight that can be put on diplomacy and allies.
One of the dwarves around the table just stands up, turns around and walks away. And you can see the jaw of the Chancellor twitching. And she says, that is not a discussion for right now.
It's one you should bear in mind. Is there anything else you need from us?
I need to know what you're doing. Are you traveling out to the further arc to find information? Or are you traveling back to the planet?
We are your vessel. What is your strategy? We get information for you. We can get it from either place. What would you prefer?
I guess it comes down to one of two things. Do you want to know more about your enemy? Or do you want to know more about the situation on the planet?
Do we even have any leads of where we'd go?
Exactly.
On the planet or in the Ark?
In the Ark.
Do we know anything about the kind of ships that they were using?
Well, their capital ships seem to be embedded in asteroids, that's fair to say.
Would it be a lore or an astrophysics check to find out about, like, starships and stuff?
Lore. I'm going to go with lore.
Okay.
So you've got a fairly good glimpse of what is of the ships that are attacking. You can go with lore.
Okay. Oh, okay. That is a 15.
You can't specify exactly what it is, but you were aware that, and not just at one point, there's sporadic reports of attacks that seem to come from asteroid fields. But you can't pinpoint exactly where you've seen that, where you know that from.
The, you know, the fighters that we were engaged with as well, you know, obviously like, they wouldn't have been embedded in an asteroid. Did any of us really recognise those as being like a particular make or model ship?
In general, you wouldn't have, no. This is fairly obscure as far as the Ark goes.
I suppose Dumas has just been living on this planet his entire life, and so has Rebook. So I guess I sort of turned to Dora and say, did you recognise any of those ships?
Do I recognise any of those ships?
Do a lore check. Let's find out.
Probably not. 16.
You have heard stories about this. Like every now and then, an asteroid field will be drifting near a planet that you've been visiting, and someone's brought up this story about, oh, remember asteroid fields? Something could come from there. This could come and attack us.
Does it have a name in terms of the kind of folk lore that I've heard?
Not with a 16, it doesn't.
Okay. I say, well, same as you, mate. I think, yeah, I heard it rings a bell, but nothing. Yeah, the universe is a big like.
In that case, then, if we're just going to be feeling blind in the Ark, I guess our best bet is going back to the planet, maybe somewhere that was hit pretty badly by this invasion force. Presumably there are people on the ground to secure, you know, cities, towns, locations of strategic importance. And we can at least recon and find out a bit more about who the enemy are, maybe what their plans are, what their goals were, why they attacked in the first place. So I'm thinking we head back to the planet.
Very well. We can provide you with a stealth ship for that. However, if we do not receive the stealth ship back, if we see you, and bear in mind, stealth ships are stealthy in so much as we design them to not be seen by others. We can track these ships. Dumas, I'm leaving you in charge.
I nod.
Be sure to bring the ship back.
Of course we'll bring the ship back, Chancellor.
If it's that big a deal for you, Chancellor, spare us a mechanic or two, retrofit our ship with stealth technology. I know you haven't got the ships to spare, but if you've got some manpower, give us a stealth field, and then the onus is on us. You don't lose any resources if we don't come back, if we end up getting killed. I understand that you're resource limited now, but surely fitting us with a stealth field is cheaper than losing an entire ship.
Is there a time issue with that?
Dugan, how long would it take to fit a ship with a stealth drive? And he says, ugh, stealth drive On a Dendu ship, right. I'd say our engineers could have that done in about 2 hours.
Sounds good.
That's not bad. I like it. Have we named the ship yet?
The Enrique Iglesias.
Ah, the Enrique Double Iglesias.
Yeah.
I like it.
Two thin coats.
And Dugan says, would you like us to paint that on the side of the ship? Enrique Double Iglesias.
Yeah, why not?
I'm struggling to come up with the words to express how much we don't want you to paint that on the side of the ship.
I feel as though it's a working...
Yes, we would.
It's a work in progress.
Yeah, the Enrique Double Iglesias. Yep.
I'm pretty sure we've got more things that are pressing than painting on the side of the ship.
That is fair. I probably won't assign any manpower to that sort of work. Very fair.
All right, can I get a spray can then?
Have a dig around in engineer on the hangar bay. I'm sure you might be able to find one.
Done.
In terms of weapons, Chancellor, and armor and stuff, can we be kitted out for this very important mission?
I think, well, no, I say this. I hope you'll understand, I doubt you will, that, as you say, resources are fairly precious. You already seem to be, I assume, reasonably armed, as you have managed to escape. I'd rather not. And by rather not, I mean I am the Chancellor and the leader of these people, and no.
Right, very succinct. Any of you guys feel as though you might need some form of weapon, maybe at range, if we need to, or tech, whereby we need to scope out from afar a particular area? Maybe we need some kind of reconnaissance gear.
Oh, you mean long-seeing glasses?
No, mate, I mean like a telescope.
Why the fuck would you use a telescope when we have... I'm trying to think of a more sci-fi word for binoculars. Anyone?
Double telescope.
Ah.
Zoomy goggles.
Zoomy goggles. Electrical make bigger. No, that sounds like a different thing. That's like something from a really shit sequel to Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
Quantum binoculars.
Quantum binoculars.
There we go, boys.
That's what we're looking for. I assume you mean quantum binoculars.
I don't understand the words that just came out of your mouth.
Range finders.
Ah, yes. Telescope.
That's a different thing.
Right. Anyway, I can see we're not going anywhere here. But if you, anything that you can give, please give.
I assume a stealth drive is fairly handy.
Very good. But what about on the surface? Anyway, I'll leave it with you, Chancellor. We're off. And she walks out the room and flicks a painkiller into her mouth. Number 6 of the day.
This is of concern, though.
I feel like we're sending a bad message.
Because previously we sent really good messages.
I know, but we weren't advocating, you know, prescription, not non-prescription drug use. I feel like we're going to get an angry letter from Nurofen.
We don't endorse self-medication.
Unless it's booze.
Unless it's not. Wait, no.
Or weed, because it's cool.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it, or does it just make you sleepy and boring?
No.
It's cool unless we use it.
Just makes me fearful.
I thought that was being sober.
I'm sorry, I just imagined like an old Tory grandma saying that. The marijuana, it makes me fearful.
It changes your brain. Anyway, that's what Dora does. She walks out with a pink.
Okay, great. Cool story. I don't know why I was being a dick about that, but cool story.
Before we leave, can I turn to the Chancellor?
You can.
And just say, Chancellor, how many got off the planet?
And she looks down. She brings her hand up to her face and she rubs her eyes. She looks up at you and says, "The count so far of 600 million dwarves, there are within this fleet 87,000.
We'll find who did this. We'll make them pay.
Be sure you do.
There's one dwarf in this fleet who still draws breath.
There's
I believe she said there were 87,000.
Oh, sorry, yeah. There's it. There's actually a few of us, but it's still quite a big loss.
Yeah, speaking of
dwarves, is the crux of what I'm saying, you know.
Speaking of dwarfs that still draw breath, Chancellor, you know that little cadet who you sent in to basically kind of meet and greet with us? You can obviously spare him, right? It seems like you kind of just threw him into a suit of armor. I think he'd really benefit from some field-based experience. I'd like to request that he comes with us.
What's your game?
I just like the idea of giving a snot-nosed little bureaucrat an actual education in combat.
Some little cabana boy for you. Don't know why I said I'm being a dick.
that's low-hanging fruit, Dumas, even for you.
I don't know why I'm being a dick about this. I guess I'm pissed off with how you treated him before.
Why? You agreed he was being a dick.
Yeah, but you started it.
No, he started it by being a bitch.
Well, that was fun.
Chancellor, before we leave, for what it is worth, I'm sorry.
She looks at you. She doesn't dismiss that, but she also doesn't really respond to it. And then probably the neatest looking dwarf on the council says to Hud, "You can take Guthrum with you."
Thank you. I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name.
I'm Defence Minister Sine Alumglit.
Thank you, Defence Minister. I appreciate that.
I don't know why I gave her that fucking name. Like, I looked at that, I was like, oh, shit, how do I pronounce that? Sine Alumglit.
A minor stroke midway through.
My bad.
I had a stroke.
And she nods at you, and the Chancellor says, "I believe we're done now. Your ship will be retrofitted. Guthrum will be waiting for you. Good luck."
Looks like we've got a bit of downtime, boys.
You've got a couple of hours.
Perhaps you can smoke more cigarettes during this time.
I actually have a plan.
Is it cunning?
Not particularly.
Is there at least like a quartermaster or something on board where we could trade for basic supplies or...
Yeah, you're aware that this sort of ship would have a quartermaster. Guthrum is still waiting outside for you. So when you say this, he says, yes, back on the security levels, we have a quartermaster at the armory.
It's more tools I'm looking for as opposed to weapons.
Engineering tools. Or what sort of thing are you after?
Trade tools, ammo presses, or smith's tools, chemistry tools, that kind of thing.
Well, that is an interesting...
Have you got a science lab on board? Requisition some chemistry supplies.
Yes. Yes, that's very possible, yes. I'll take you there. To our science lab.
I mean, like, basically, I'm just I'd buy like some chemistry tools, and
you'll be able to do that. I don't really want to go through.
Yeah, we don't need to RP that out.
Let's not be asked for that.
Basically, at some point, I am in the market for chemistry tools, gunsmith tools, and smith's tools. So it's whatever I can get for money.
Tom, are you doing Breaking Bad in space?
Yes, Aaron, that is exactly what I'm doing.
Cool, I'm fine with it.
Is literally my entire premise of a character.
Just, yep.
That is exactly what Tom said to me when he said, "I want to make a dwarf that used to be a teacher and now makes explosives."
From the people who brought you Space Hay, now Space F. It's Moorish.
This sounds right up Dora's alley.
Yep.
Am I the Jesse of this series?
It's self-sustaining.
Yeah, I do my science.
Magnets, bitch.
Okay, so smith tools will cost you about 200, gunsmiths about 300, and chemistry 500.
I don't have 500 in money, but if they're willing to do a bit of trading, I've got some some bits and bobs. How about if we do 250 cash and a short rifle?
All right, that sounds reasonable.
Great. I'll mark some chemistry tools down.
Marvellous.
Breaking Bad.
You know the business. I have the chemistry.
Okay. Aaron, what was your plan?
I'm wanting to find out a bit more about that dwarf who kind of stormed out of the hall after I mentioned sort of like engaging with the rest of the galaxy. And I was hoping I could use my background feature, knowing the craft, where I can, like, it's basically saying like I know my way around ships and I can build rapport with like pilots and stuff easier. And I think since there'd be like a lot of pilots in this ship now, I could kind of find out what the lowdown is on people that way.
Okay, yeah, that's fair enough. So where are you going? How are you doing this?
Well, I would probably start with the guards who are kind of like escorting us around. Try and engage them in some conversation first. And then if that didn't work, then I'd probably head down to like the hangars and see if I could speak to kind of like any sort of like pilots and things like that and ask them sort of similar questions. Just kind of, you know, what's the deal with the whole government? Does everyone feel like it was handled well? Does anyone feel like there's like anything that could have done better? Like, do people want to engage with the rest of the galaxy? Stuff like that. And basically kind of who this guy was, what his deal was. And also the guy with the head wound as well.
Okay. So let's start with the guards that you're with. So in the lift, I'm going to say that you're going down to Hangar Bay. Guthrum and Corriban have gone off on their own towards the science labs. So the rest of you are in this lift with these two guards. And you strike up this conversation. How do you start this?
So I realised emotions are running high, but I think storming out a meeting was a bit much. What was up with that guy?
Jepta.
Is that his name?
Jepta Fataxel. He is the Home Secretary. I think your being here in the first place is a bit of an affront to him. Finds your very existence.
Oh, so it's like that. He's not a fan of people who aren't dwarves, sort of thing.
Not many dwarves are. Be honest about that. I think he's probably likely to blame you for what's happened here. And he's vying for the Chancellor's job. So I think he's probably going to be trying to stir up some ferment around weak leadership and that sort.
I mean, it's not really the time for kind of politicising, is it? Not when you've got so much to be getting on with.
Unless you're a politician, is it?
Well, true. It's always the way. I mean, not being funny, how do you guys feel about it?
Don't know you.
That's fair. At least you've...
The details of your involvement.
Well, at least you haven't made your mind up like this Jepta guy. There was another guy as well, intelligence head. He seemed to have caught a head wound.
O'Connell.
Yeah, he didn't seem to know what was going on. Should I blame the head wound, or is he always like that?
He's not the intelligence head, he's the foreign minister.
The foreign minister, right. Okay. What was his name again?
Connell Shalegolt.
He's only going to have so many names. Just keep asking him. We're going to get to Frank and Jim Bob and...
You say that. A fucking bank of NPC names. You can back the fuck off.
Sorry. What was his position again?
He's the foreign minister.
With all due respect, from what you were just saying before about the Home Secretary and the way you guys work in general, I can't see much point in a foreign secretary. From what I could tell from the trade mission, we were kind of a once in a blue moon sort of thing.
Trade happens more than you'd think.
Well, then how have you guys kept everything so secret for so long? I mean, people talk.
Not with the deals we've got set up.
Right, well, fair enough. Well, thanks for telling me what you have. And, you know, if there's anything more that we can do with... I don't know where we're going to be deployed. And I'm hoping you guys have got all your family on the ships with you. But if you need to keep an eye out for someone, let us know. Get us a photo or an address, something that we can keep an eye out for nearby.
He holds eye contact with you for a couple of seconds and just nods.
And then I get off the lift if it stopped.
Yeah, there's a couple more minutes of the lift moving because Yeah, that's more realistic.
Fair enough. Just
and there's this awkward silence.
Cool.
That's not lift music. Lift music's.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't line up with this fictional universe, John.
You didn't.
Creativity.
That was circus music. That's ridiculous. No there's too much going on. People will be so stressed out whilst traveling in lifts.
Yes,
moves both upwards, downwards, horizontally, and every now and then diagonally. This is a diagonal moving lift as well.
A multifaceted lift.
Deja vu all over again.
It goes and down and side to side.
Does anyone else want to be doing anything in particular in these 2 hours?
Rebig's desperately trying not to throw up because of the motion sickness.
It's almost oscillating. It's crazy.
Has Rebig ever been in a lift?
No, it's terrifying for him. He's been sweating the entire time.
Dora will be trying to find some booze, but otherwise going back to the ship.
So she's also been sweating the entire time.
Yeah.
Booze, not that easy to come by on a military vessel.
Right. Surely there's some little soldiers' lockers that I can take a look in. They always have booze, don't they?
I mean, not with a security escort.
Oh.
Yeah, you don't have free rein of the ship. You're still strangers and off-welders for an isolationist society. They're not going to be like, oh, well, we don't entirely trust you, but you can walk around wherever you like.
Well, can I try and, like, run around a corner and stealth away from them?
Run around a corner and stealth away from them.
Yeah. I mean, I'll let you. Do you really want to do that?
Yeah, and if they find me, I'll just pass it off as a joke and laugh at them.
All right, I'll say whilst you're walking along, you spot an opportune time to try and sort of...
Is it a corner?
Out of the group. It's more of a side corridor, and you can sort of like hang back and sidestep out, but you'll need to roll a stealth check to get away with it.
And I imagine it's going to be a high DC. I rolled high. It's a 20 non-natural.
Yeah, you managed to duck out of sight.
Hey!
On the hangar deck, you are now on the ship that you have no idea how to navigate because you've never been on it before.
I now regret this.
I regret letting you.
I regret not being more facetious.
So I'm in a hangar bay, right?
No, you're in a corridor that is on the same level as the hangar bay.
Okay. Is anyone near?
No.
They were, but now they're walking off, not realizing you've hidden around a corner.
All right, well, I wait like a minute, and then once they've gone, I walk out into the corridor.
Yeah.
Is anyone near?
You can see there are a few dwarves milling about near an hangar deck. There's a couple that are looking at a hatch open on it in the corridor. They seem to be doing some wiring work.
Okay, I approach them. Hello, friends. Sorry, I seem to have lost my way. I was heading towards our ship, and I've taken a wrong turn. Can you put me in the right direction?
And the dwarf doesn't really look up. He's like, oh, fuck! Who are you? What are you?
Are you okay, mate?
What are you?
What am I?
Not a dwarf.
No, of course not. I'm not a dwarf. Look at me. I'm 6 foot tall and I'm blue.
Where are you? What have you? Where have you come from?
I came from the sky. And
we're in space. There's no sky in space. I'm not an idiot.
No, I mean the ethereal plane of the sky.
Does anyone else know you're here?
God damn it. Look, I lost my way. I was with a security protocol. I was heading towards our ship. I'm just looking for my ship. Where is the hangar bay?
Is your ship the not dwarven ship?
Yes, the bloody Dendu ship. Dendu.
And his eyes go really wide and he just points in the other direction.
Oh, and by the way, friend, you're a working man, right? You know, you're a hard labourer. Do you drink?
And he nods slightly.
Fantastic. Do you have any, perchance, alcohol to sell to me?
And he just reaches into his jacket and he pulls out a small flask and very shakingly hands it to you.
Brilliant. How much for this?
And he just shakes his head and you can see like all the colour in his face.
Look, I'm a pirate, but I'm a nice pirate, friend. So here you go. Here's five cubas. And I just take it out and shove it into his pocket.
He's just not moving, and the other dwarf's knocking him on the leg, like, trying to get his attention, trying to get him to do something. And he's just not.
Right, mate. Love you. Love you, friends. You're doing great work here. And I kind of got touched the face a little bit as I walk away. You're great. And I walk in the direction.
And as you walk away, you hear him go, I love you too.
All right. I'm already a celebrity on a dwarven ship. Spread my name. My name is Dora. Dora the old Dory.
Are you finding your way into the hangar now?
Yeah, I'm going that way.
The ship that you arrived on is still landed where it was. There's still a couple of dwarven guards around it. You can't see the people that you've been travelling with, but you assume they're probably on board the ship. It seems to have calmed down a little bit. There's slightly fewer people, but there's still chaos in this hangar bay.
Right, I enter the ship.
I assume we're now just everyone's going back to the ship, right?
Yeah. I've got what I need.
Yeah.
As do I.
Cool.